So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. And when you have it, say, I got it. You sure? All right. Also, a sermon outline. You need a sermon outline? Raise your hand. We'll get one for you. Won't you be able to follow along with us, have a sermon outline? And we give you a sermon outline for two reasons. So you can write down the notes so you can know what's going on. And the second one is that when you go to work on Monday, all of us been there before, you go to work on Monday, and someone asks you what you've done. And you say, oh, I went to church on a Sunday. And they ask you, man, what did Pastor preach about? And normally, because you forgot, you say, I don't know, but that choir show was good, right? Well, we want you to make sure that you're able to say, man, I have my outline right here. We're talking about live in harmony, forgive one another. Amen? So we want you to be able to understand what you come to church, not only to worship God, but also to be equipped. And what we'd be to able to be equipped by, we're able to read the word and to understand what God is doing in our lives. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 to 32. Are we ready?
Amen.
All right. And it reads, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Amen?
Amen.
Please join me in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to gather here once again to worship you with your people. Father, we pray that you would be with us as we celebrate our oneness in you. Thank you for Jesus Christ who gave his life for us. Lord, thank you for the body of Christ that we're able to do life together with. And I pray, God, that we will leave here better than we came, that our hearts and our minds will be open to the truth, and that it may transform our lives. I pray, God, that you will speak to me, that I may speak to your people, that they may be edified and you may be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And I entitled this message, Live in Harmony, Forgive One Another. Live in harmony, forgive one another. As we have been going through this sermon series, talking about the one another's. And I said before that Christianity is meant to be lived among people. Christianity is not a solo faith. It is a community faith. That it's impossible to be a Christian all by yourself. Because God might have saved you by yourself, but when he saved you, he deposited you into a body. It's a community of believers. And so for us to ever to be mature Christians and ever to experience all that God has for us, we have to be engaged in a community of believers. God wants us to be together because we are the body of Christ. We're the body. And I say anything that disconnected from the body begins to do what? Die. And when it's connected from the body, first thing that happens, it begins to wither up. Then eventually it begins to rot. And, things that rot begin to smell. Right? You ever met some smelly Christians? They're disconnected from the body. They're disconnected from the body of Christ. And then they begin to wither up, they begin to rot. And then when you rot, you give them a bad odor. And that bad odor doesn't attract people to you, it attracts people away from you. Amen? So God wants us to be the salt and to be the light so that we can attract people to us to eventually they are attracted to God. But in order to do that, we must be connected to the body of Christ. We must do life together. Now, when we begin to do life together, things happen is that most of us think that when we become Christians and when we start coming to a church or visit a church, we have this misperception that everybody is in the church is perfect except us. Amen? And as soon as someone does something we don't like, we say, man, I don't go to church because of those Christians. Or I don't go to church anymore because of I've had church what? And why I said, well, really what you should do is this, a person hurt you. Name the person. Don't, because when you say church, you put all of us in some mess that we didn't do it. That person hurt you. Name the person. And yet Jesus tells us when we're hurt, what to do when we hurt. We say, go to the person and address it so there can be reconciliation, right? So God never tells us to use an excuse that we've been hurt as an excuse to not be connected to the church. He says, really, that's an excuse to get more connected. That it takes you to the body of Christ. But the problem I see, and we've seen that many Christians do not, I say our biggest issue is relationships. We don't know how to do relationships. Now, Christianity, if I give you two words to describe Christianity, I would say this. The number one word to describe Christianity is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Love. And the second word that I would say to you that is very important is forgiveness. Amen. God forgave me. God forgave you. So two words that describe Christianity is love and forgiveness. And I will say to you that there are two words that most Christians struggle with today in relationships. Love and forgiveness. The very thing that describes Christianity is the very thing that most of us struggle with. And that really describes Christianity. Love. Look at it said that when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he said that he loved his own. He loved them to the end. And then Jesus said that people would know that we're his disciples if we do what? Have what? Love for one another. So maybe people are not in awe of God because they don't see us really loving one another. Maybe that's why they say, well, I don't want to see anything too impressive about this group of people. They don't seem to love one another. They don't live in harmony with one another. They always argue and always backbiting, so I don't see any love. But yet that what is supposed to describe us as Christians, we are to love one another and forgive one another. Many of us struggle with forgiveness. It's hard to forgive someone. And everyone tells you, oh, it's not, they haven't been hurt. Because you know if you've been hurt before, deeply cut, it's hard to forgive someone. But I would say to you, if you want to grow as a Christian, it is necessary to forgive people. Forgiveness is a necessity for a Christian. So my key truth this morning is this, is that disciples of Jesus Christ do not hold grudges, but model God's forgiveness to one another. Say that again. Disciples of Jesus Christ do not hold grudges, but model God's forgiveness to one another. That's true. That is theologically true, what I just said. But I know that it is practically not true in some of your lives. Some of you came in here today and you carried in your car some grudges. They ride around with you. You carry them with you. Wherever you go, you got grudges against somebody. And if I was to say a name of a person, you say, that person will make you get upset. You lose your appetite. Because you're still holding a grudge against that person. That person hurt me, and I would never forgive him or her for what they did. Amen. Thank you. Somebody with me. You know, I never hurt them. He said, yeah, Pastor, it is for me, but you don't know what they did to. See? Some of y'all have been rehearsing that song, huh? See? Some of you know what I'm talking about. And the question to ask yourself right now, really ask yourself, be honest here, are you holding any grudges against someone? If you are, God has a word for you today. Glad you're here. Because he wants you to leave those grudges today at the altar. And don't pick them up. Just bring them and drop them right there and go on about your business. And you'll be so much freer. Now, I like what Dr. King said. It's on your outline, but he said this. Dr. King said this. Forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a constant attitude. Now, if anybody had reason to not forgive people, it was Dr. King. Peaceful protest, trying to get rights, civil rights, minding his own, people throwing rocks at him, spitting on him. And he said, listen, the only way that we're going to able to get people to get to see who we are is that we can't fight back. Can you imagine? To get people to willingly let people spit on you, throw rocks at you, and say, you cannot fight back. It's hard, isn't it? Amen, it's hard. But aren't you glad he did that, let some people do that? Because we benefit from that. Many of us, we benefit from what he did. Say, I'm going to forgive people. Think about that. It's hard, isn't it? But it was necessary. Do you have a constant attitude of forgiveness? Do you? Don't answer too quick. Now, somebody sitting beside you know like that. She lying. He lying. Don't be too quick to say, yeah. And they're like, oh, I don't know about that. You came in here mad. I know. Some of you listen. We all been there, right? You had an argument Saturday night. You come to church and you put your mask on, the smiley face. You come to church and you worship. And then when you get in the car, you take the mask back off and you back to like you were. Like you ain't heard nothing about Jesus, no nothing. You back to where you were. You just as mad as when you before you came to church. You even madder now. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Why? Because it's more easier to hold on to a grudge than to let it go. And yet we say once again, love and forgiveness, it should be the words that we live by as Christians. And I always say this, right? You can tell a lot about a person, their maturity. It's not right now how they sing and praise God. It's when you make them mad. All I got to do is make you mad and see what happens. Do something you don't like. I just wait. Just do something you don't like. I'm going to wait. And the real you're going to come out. It's going to come out. You're going to go right to your comfort zone. I call it your comfort zone. I mean, your comfort zone is cussing folks out. I mean, that flows out your mouth very fluidly. But singing praise is hard for you. Seriously. Lifting your hands in church is hard. But to cuss somebody out, oh, I'm right. Man, that's me. And yet we say we love one another. And yet we say we are followers of Jesus Christ. And he said that we are to love our enemies and pray for them. And do good to those that despitefully hurt us. Matter of fact, he says, blessed are you when people talk about you, say all kind of things about you. For you're like your Father who is in heaven. Yet, sometimes we're not disciples of Jesus Christ. We're disciples of Mama them. Mama them say, cut somebody. You heard that before? They hit you, you hit them back. Don't you come in his house crying. Somebody, you come on crying. Somebody hit you. You go back out there and you get them. I'm going to beat you if you don't go back there and get them. And so you've been taught some bad things by your parents. That's not scripture. I'm telling all of us, eye for an eye, tooth for Jesus said, don't do that. Because he said, you represent me. And you're not to do that because you represent. And matter of fact, it takes more strength not to retaliate. See, it's not weakness to retaliate. That takes some strength to hold you back. Boy, I would, but boy, Lord, Jesus is holding me right now. That takes some strength. But what about when we deal with one another? Because many of us, many Christians believe, I come to church and everybody is nice and sing and nobody gonna make me mad. That's not true. Does not. No church is perfect. I always say, if you find a perfect church, don't you attend. You're gonna mess it up. Don't you go there. You better find you an imperfect church. You know why? Because you feel right at home. Because you're not perfect. So Paul talks about it. He's talking to these Ephesians, and he's helping them grow in Christ. Paul planted this church. And he knew that his biggest job was not to get them saved, but to get them to begin to actually be disciples and to live differently from the people that they lived around. Because he wanted them to be salt and light in their community. So he was teaching them how to live, how to treat one another. Because Paul believes that we as Christians should live differently and should be distinct from the people we live among. In other words, he's saying that Christians stand out in a crowd. They look different. They act different. Because they are different. Like salt and light, salt has a distinct flavor to it, doesn't it? Salt is also light. You can see it in the dark. You can pick up some light, even though it's dark. You can see, I see some light. And the question for you and I is, are we being salt and light to one another? And Paul talks about that. And he says that when we're not living in harmony, we begin to grieve one another. Many of us who have children, more than one, if you have more than one children, you as a parent, you know that you love to see your kids get along. And they know that's a task, right? When you have children, two of them, to get them to get along with one another. And you know what grieves your heart as a parent, if you got any sense, is that you don't enjoy seeing your kids argue and fight. That should bring some grief to you. When they argue and fight, say, man, these are my kids. We came from the same bloodline, and you hate one another. Why is that? Because you want them to get along. And do you know that God is grieved when we don't get along? That God the Father is grieved when his children don't get along. So we're going to talk about how we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gets sad when things happen that doesn't glorify Jesus. And one way that we are able to grieve the Holy Spirit is this: harsh words spoken to one another. Harsh words, when we speak harsh words to one another, that grieves the Holy Spirit. Anybody have a problem with their mouth? What comes out of it? Harsh words. The disciples asked Jesus one day that they was complaining about this guy was eating food that was unclean. He was eating with unwashed hands. And they said, you know, hey, and Jesus said, it's not the food that goes into a man that makes him unclean. It's what comes out of him. From the heart comes all kind of evil things. Anger, adultery, all those things come out of a person. And that makes a man unclean. So he said, it's not the food, it's not the pig feet, the bacon, oxtails that's making you unclean. Now Jesus is saying that you can eat that in, you know, variation, not too much of it, moderation. You can have a little bit. Because what he's saying is this: the food you eat doesn't make you more holy than somebody else. Oh, I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat pork. Okay, and give me your pieces. I eat it for you. Give me your two pieces of bacon, but pray over it, I'm gonna eat it. Give it to me. So I'm saying, being a vegetarian doesn't make you more holy. What he says is how you live your life that makes you a child of God. Harsh words spoken to one another. God is one of us speaking harsh words to one another. And we need to be careful about that. Then he says also, evil attitudes toward one another. Evil attitudes toward one another. And Paul talks about that in verse 25. He says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. He says, now you put away lying, you put that away, and you're speaking truth to one another. For we are members of one another. But he talks about when we're speaking the truth, it's not just so we can hurt somebody and be evil and be nasty. We're doing it to help them, not to hurt them. Anybody ever got some truth spoken to you and it wasn't, boy, it hurt more than it just really, how they gave it to you was hurt, was hard for like, why did it really hurt? Right? But we want to say, speak truth to one another. For we are members of one another. Now he says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And don't give an opportunity to the devil. Be careful. I always say this. Never talk to somebody when you're angry. Don't say nothing. You need to go pray and talk to God. You ever said something in anger and wish you never said it? And you tell the person, ooh, I don't know where that come from. That wasn't even me. Said, yes, that was you. It looked like you. It sounded like you. And the reason why we got to be careful, because it says that we give, when we're angry, it says, angry, do not sin. Don't give an opportunity to the devil. See, the devil is always looking for an opportunity to get in. And when we have anger and hurt, now we open the door for him to walk right in. And when he walks in, he says, okay, now, when he walks in, now he's starting to influence you. And he's all about what? You know, to steal, kill, and destroy. He's all about chaos. You know, what we don't want to do, he says, be angry and do not sin. You can be angry about something, but you shouldn't sin. It's okay to be angry. Anger is a human emotion. But one time, what we do, we get angry and then we follow it up with sinful behavior. Like he says that, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let the couple that came to church one day, and the pastor saw them, and they looked very tired. They looked very exhausted. They said, man, y'all must have been up all night. He said, no, we've been up for a couple of nights. They said, why are you guys been up a couple of nights? He said, well, pastor, you preached last Sunday. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And we ain't slept in a whole week. They missed the point. The point was to deal with the anger in a Christian way, loving way. Resolve the issue, I'm going to stay mad so I don't get no sleep. Because they desire to anger more than they desire to sleep with one another. You ever been there before with someone? That I deserve to be angry at you more than I really desire to be with you and to be at peace. Or more than that, I desire to be more angry with you than to please God. Because the anger feels good. And we have either evil attitudes toward one another. And it can go in a minute, it can show itself in subtle ways. Evil attitudes toward one another. You're in a crowd, or you walking up, and you see somebody you don't like. You speak to everybody else but that person. Evil attitude. Cold, we call it the cold shoulder. Oh, I don't like her. I don't like him, and I want him to know it. Walk right by. Look at them and keep going. That's an evil attitude. Now, I'm talking about that stuff happens in the body of Christ. And it should. Avoiding people. We say, hey, greet one another, hug one another. You stay right where you are. I wish they would come over here by me. I know. I'm reading some of y'all emails right now. I got it. But it's true. It says, but we're members of one another. And when you do that, you're giving the opportunity to the devil, but you're also grieving the Holy Spirit. Do you know that you cannot worship God fully when you have unforgiveness in your heart? Do you know that? You can't even lift holy hands. Your hands are dirty. You got blood on them. You can't even worship. God says, I can't even receive that. So he talks about how we are to live in harmony with one another and we're to be taught how to live together with one another. Some of us we are dysfunctional when it comes to dealing with relationships. Some Christians have never been able to deal, they're horrible when it comes to relationships. They're good by themselves. But with other people, they're out of whack. And God says, that shouldn't be you. That's not what he wants for you. We need one another. Then he talks about, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands. And I think, wow, even some thieves got saved back in the day. You got to tell the thief, stop stealing. Go to work. So that you can share something with anyone in need. Then he says something else that happens to us. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Anybody that has a bad mouth, corrupt talk come out your mouth? You're not building the body up, you're tearing them down. It's easier to tear somebody down than to build them up. And most of the time, we tear people down to make ourselves look bigger. Isn't that what we do? I'm going to tear you down so I look bigger than you. And there's so many relationships we have killed because we haven't been willing to forgive. We're harsh. We have evil attitudes. And yet we say we love God and we love people and we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Yet he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all the bitterness and the wrath and the anger and the clamor. Also, number three is unforgiveness grieves the Holy Spirit and hinders our spiritual maturity. I have never met, I have never met a spiritually mature Christian who doesn't forgive people. I never met one. Most of the time when people tell you and they tell you quickly, oh, I can't forgive so-and-so, I'm not going to forgive someone, that person is not spiritually mature. I never met one. Because a spiritually mature Christian forgives. Because they understand that unforgiveness grieves the Holy Spirit and it hinders our spiritual maturity. And we say we love God so much that we want to please God. See, Christianity means that we don't do it because of religion. We do it based on relationship. That I love God so much that I do certain things. Not out of fear, but out of my love for God. Out of my love for God, I serve people. I care for people. I forgive people because I love God. You don't love God? Do you? And that will hinder our spiritual maturity. You will stay in a state of being a toddler or infant if you don't forgive other people. I was telling somebody, I said, you know, there's nothing worse for me. I know I'm just hoping about it, that to see a 5-year-old kid with a Pampers on sucking a bottle. I've seen it before. I've seen a 5-year-old kid with a Pampers on with a bottle. And bring some wipes and a pamper to the parent and say, hey, I just used the bathroom. Can you change me? Now that's not cute, that's ugly. And what that means is that the parents have never said, hey, no, I'm not going to keep doing this. We're going to wean you off this bottle and you're going to start using the bathroom. You're going to mature and you're going to eventually start to take care of yourself, right? That's ugly, right? But I believe that if God can show us our spiritual maturity, you know, just open our eyes and show us from a spiritual maturity how we look spiritually. Some of us walking in with Pampers on. We have a Pamper on and a ball in our mouth, and we have some poop in our Pamper. And we come to church every Sunday and say, hey, Pastor, can you change me right quick? I've been carrying this around all week. I just come to get a little freshen up. I'll be back next week with the same diaper full. At some point, it says, can you eventually start cleaning yourself? Can you mature? Can you grow up? And what I mean by that is, can you grow up and mature in your relationships with other people? How come you keep killing people? How come every relationship, all relationships are dead? And the only one that's alive is you. And you say, I don't know what happened. Think about that. Maybe because we haven't matured in our relationships with other people. Because there is a, what we say, there's a vertical relationship, that's important. But just as important as that, it's a horizontal. It's just as important. I think a lot of people think, oh no, don't I just love Jesus? He says, no. Love God all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. He says, if you truly love me, you'll love people. And you forgive people, and you live in harmony with other people, and you forgive one another. That's why some of us don't like coming to church a lot. Because it's going to correct our behavior. We say, I don't want my behavior corrected, so I won't come a lot. I just come every now and then. I come for the high holy days. Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. Because now our character is set in stone. And we don't want nobody to change that. And I said, we're withering up and we're dying and we're smelling and we become repellent to people. And yet Paul is saying to these Christians, hey, I want you to live in harmony. And how you do this is by how you interact with one another. How you love one another. And he talks about that. He says that we were sealed for the day of redemption. See, we've been sealed. That when you're born again, you are sealed. That God has saved you and he has sealed you. And the only person who can break the seal is God. That's why I say that we are secure in our salvation. Amen. I can speak for everybody. I can speak for me. I'm secure in mine. I've been sealed. Now, like this water bottle here has a seal on it. Hasn't been broken. Now, this water on the inside cannot break the seal, can it? Only from the outside can it be broken. The only person who can break this seal is me. Right? Now, so this is your, you inside of the bottle, you're saved. You can't break the seal. Who can break the seal? God can. We seal for their redemption. So I'm trying to say to you that God has saved you and he sealed you and he keeps you. God keeps you saved. You know that? You don't keep yourself. Like somebody said, oh, I'm just trying to get to heaven. Well, if you're trying, you ain't gonna ever make it. Because ain't about you trying what Jesus already said, it is finished. Amen? So it's not about me trying to get to heaven. It's about me trusting Christ who's already done it for me. I just give him my life, surrender to him. Then he says that we're to do some, put away some things. See, when you become a Christian, you have to put some, take some stuff off. You know that? He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Then he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. When you become a Christian, you have to take some stuff off and put some stuff on. God give you a new set of clothes. You know that? Like in boot camp. When you go to boot camp, they call it what, the standard military issue, right, Ed? You go there and say, listen, take that off, and we're going to give you this. Amen? So when you come to Christ, God say, hey, take that off, I'm going to give you this. And what I'm giving you is much better than what you came here with. See, for many of us, that when you come to Christ, Christ's going to give you better than what you came here with. Hey, listen, God, I'm going to give you, me, God said, good, I'm going to give you something better. I'm going to give you a whole bunch of stuff. And the reason why many Christians don't come to Christ, because they believe that what they have is better than what God can give them. That's crazy. Why would you believe that what you have is better than what God himself can give you? But I want to stick with this one about forgiving one another. Because I believe, I know for a fact, many Christians struggle with forgiveness. Some of you are in here today with unforgiveness in your heart against an individual. It could be a spouse. It could be an ex-spouse. It can be a parent. It can be a sibling. It can be a co-worker. Anyone that you're struggling to forgive that person. See, someone said that unforgiveness is like you drinking poison and hoping the other person die. You keep drinking the poison hoping they die. But you're only killing yourself. Aren't you tired of drinking poison? Aren't you tired of that? Won't we trust God to see what he says? So I'm going to give you some reasons that we forgive. The reason we forgive. Number one is simple. The reason we forgive because God forgave us. Now that should be enough right there. Shouldn't have to go any further than that. The reason we forgive is because God forgave us. And when you recognize and I recognize the stuff that we have done and that God forgave me, who am I not to forgive anyone? Because you know that what you've done and God forgave you, who are we not to forgive other people? See, some of us have been Christians too long that we have forgot what it was like not to be saved. And we forgot all the stuff we did before we got saved. And now we walk around like we're holier than thou. But we don't want to forgive people. And yet God forgave us. That's why we had to be very, very careful when we say, oh, I would never do that. Oh, how could you do Dads. See, we got to be, even with our own children, we got to be careful. Oh, I raised you better than, I would never. Yeah, you did do that. But you've been saved on, now you forgot how you were. And now you put a burden on them that you at that age couldn't carry yourself. Now that you 60 or 50 and you, you know, want to finally settle down. Now you're telling them, oh, you shouldn't be out in the club. And when you was out there when you was that age. Got pictures of you out there. But you buried those pictures. All you want them to see is to see the church pictures. Now show them all the pictures. You know, when you're in them boy shorts. Because when we know we have been forgiven, it's easy to forgive other people, isn't it? But when you don't really understand what forgiveness looks like, you will make people walk the green mile just to get your forgiveness. But they got to beg you to forgive them. Oh, I'm sorry, please. That's not what Jesus did for you. Think about it. You and I both know, man, you have kids, man. They teach you a lot about forgiveness. They do. I became a better Christian when I started having kids. Taught me a lot about how God deals with me. Seriously. My kids taught me, man, that's how I treat God. He said, yep, that's how you treat me, just like that. But I forgive you, so I need you to forgive them. That's a good word for some of us parents. You guys are holding your kids to a standard and to at a certain place that God says, I don't do you like that. But you got them in prison. God forgave us. Second thing, Jesus Christ commands us. I know many of us don't like the word command. Nobody command me to do nothing. But God does. And we are Christians, God commands us to do. He said, I command you to forgive. He said, why can God command me to do something that I should? Isn't forgiveness supposed to be on my own? Yeah, yes and no. But if I love God, I'm going to forgive somebody, right? Sometimes I'm forgiving the person not because of them, because God told me to. Not because I ain't doing it for you, but because I love God and God says I'm to forgive, so I forgive you. Jesus Christ commands us to forgive. And you may say, well, who is Jesus Christ to command me to do anything? He's Lord and Savior. He's the one that forgave you. That's who he is. He has the clout to tell you to forgive people. And what we have messed up in our mind is we really think that Jesus Christ does not have any authority to tell us to do anything. Oh, he just saved me. No, he is Lord. He is your master. I said last week, we are slaves of God. He's the master. The slave does what the master tells him to do. Right? And most of us think that, well, I do it when I feel like it. See, the problem, your feelings got you in trouble anyhow. Forgiveness is not about a feeling. It's a decision of the will. It's an act. And if you only forgive people when you feel like it, you're going to harbor a lot of forgiveness in your heart. It's not about how you feel. Jesus Christ commands us to forgive. And all these, all what Paul is saying, these are imperatives. Do this, do this, do this to one another. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Anybody been forgiven by God? I have. Know what I've done? Anybody been forgiven by God this week? I have. Some of y'all lying to you. Said, boy, ain't but three of us said that. Oh, the rest of y'all are holy, huh? Let me try it again. Anybody been forgiven by God this week? I have. This week. He forgave me this week. This week, he forgave me this week. Wow. And yet, you've been holding a grudge against somebody for a whole year. Longer than that. But you say you love God. If you love me, Jesus said, you'll keep my commandments. Not only this, the reason we forgive because unforgiveness hinders our prayers. If you are grieving the Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit is inside of you, you can't pray like you ought to. And Jesus says also in the prayer that if we don't forgive people, God won't forgive us. And when we don't forgive people, then our prayers are just being, they're hindered. It's like they never leave earth. They're not going anywhere. I don't want my prayers to be hindered. Do you? I want my prayers to be effective. What would it look like if we forgave one another in church? For some of us, what would it look like in your own home to forgive one another? What would it look like? What would happen in your own home if you really forgave your children, your spouse? What would it look like? You know what? Christ will show up. He'll feel welcome. There'll be joy in your home. Joy in your heart. But unforgiveness hinders our prayers. That's why some people struggle to pray. The Holy Spirit is not giving you any power. You can't pray. And you struggle. And yet prayer is the right of all of God's children. It's a privilege to pray to God. But God says, don't come to me for prayer and don't come to me for forgiveness when you won't forgive this person. Because I believe that if you really have unforgiveness in your heart and you talk to God, you know what he's going to do? He's going to bring that person up while you pray. Hey, let's talk about this. And you're going to stop praying. Oh, no, I won't deal with that, God, so you stop. And your prayer becomes less and less and less because God won't let you go until you deal with that. So you just stop praying. You stop praying, then you stop praising. Then guess what happens? Your presence is gone. We don't see you anymore. Because people love. Now, you know, I guarantee you, if you go on Facebook, just post something about your haters. Get a whole bunch of amen. Oh, yeah, man, yeah, I'm with you. Shake them haters loose. They're gonna give you a lot of likes. But that's not Christianity. Pray for those. Do good to those who despise you. Forgive them. What would it look like? Woman said, I just hate my husband. Can't stand it. He hurt me. When did he do that? 30 years ago. What? Y'all still married? Yeah, but I just remind him every now and then, you did that to me. He'd been walking the Green Mile for 30 years. I said, what would it look like if you forgave him and did good to him? She couldn't even imagine what it would look like because she lived with unforgiveness for so long. Couldn't imagine doing good to him. So she just stayed around just to torture him, to remind him, I remember when you hurt me. Some of us feel more comfortable with unforgiveness than we ever do with forgiveness. Forgiveness makes us uncomfortable. Unforgiveness, we feel right at home. But we're not close to God when we do that. And the reason we forgive is because we will at one time or another need forgiveness. Remember that now. You are going to need some forgiveness. I don't care who you are going to need it. That's why I'm telling you, being a parent helped me be a better Christian. The times I wanted to be mad at my children, I couldn't. I just couldn't. Can't read the Bible, can't pray God. Hey, you got to forgive them. You got to forgive them. I'm like, why? Because I said so. Well, okay. But not only that, there will come a time in your life, believe it or not, parents, this is gonna be, that you will need your kids' forgiveness. They need to. Now, don't ever get your brother and say, I ain't going to never ask my kids to forgive me. Then you crazy. Because all of us are not the best parent we could be. And there are times. Now, I grew up in a society down south that mama was never wrong. I ain't forgive you. If I hit you in the mouth, you lose a tooth, I ain't going to say I'm sorry. You should have ducked. It's your fault you lost that teeth. But I'm telling you that hinders relationships when they get older. They remember that. You never said to them, I'm sorry for what I said to you. That wasn't right. Mom and dad, we're not perfect people. And what I did to you that time was, what I said to you was wrong. I need you to forgive me. What I told you was not right. I need you to forgive. See, that's strength right there. They remember that. Because you teach, because more things are caught than taught, parents. And when you teach them how to love, how to forgive, they begin to do it naturally too. We will need, one time or another, forgiveness from someone. Think about that. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But we tend to forget that we're going to need it one day. And Jesus tells a parable that talks about this forgiveness. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18, I want you to turn there with me. I want you to see this, what happens. And it's talking about forgiveness. And I want you to see how we can be just like this person. It talks about the parable of the unforgiving servant. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Jesus talked about how we are to reconcile with our brothers, and Peter wanted to clarify some things. So he asked Jesus a question. He said this. Then Peter came up and said to Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Peter said, okay, now, because in the Jewish culture, hey, you know, three times, okay, three times. So Peter said, you know what? Jesus, I'm going to do a massage. I'm going to give him seven. Much as seven times. So if you come to me, he's sinning. He says, he says, my brother, family person, sin against me. How many times should I forgive him? He says, Peter answers the question. He asks the question and answers it. Seven times. So Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Now, he didn't mean 77. Some of y'all start counting, okay, that's one, there's two, I got a couple more. What he was saying, all the time, it just there should be no limit to when you forgive. Though he was saying, no, 77 times, Peter. Because when Peter heard it, he was like, what? He said, no, you lose count, you just don't count, you just forgive them. Then he talks about, now to drive this home, I got to teach something to you, Peter, because I see your face, like some of y'all faces out there, so I got to drive it home. Some of you are not convinced yet, so I'm going to drive it home to you. And verse 23 says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king. Now, the king is God. I want you to understand who the king is. Who wished to settle accounts with his servants. The servants are us. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, in that day, in our culture, that would be almost $10 million. It's in the millions. Someone owes his old God $10 million, owing this money. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring the king, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. He released him from the debt and said, your account is zeroed out. He had pity. He said, you don't owe me nothing. The guy couldn't pay. He said, hey, have pity, have patience on me. He said, you know what? You balance is zero. Anybody have any debt in here today? I'm just saying, what's the major debt that most people have? That's a home. Home mortgage, right? Let's say that. Home mortgage. You got a mortgage. And you get a letter in the mail tomorrow. And the bank tells you, paid in full. See, some of y'all see, they receive. Amen. I know it. They receive that. See what I'm saying? I receive. Amen. Zeroed out. You owe nothing. Zero. So that's us. Now, so your debt, your mortgage is paid for. That's us. Okay, got me? Your mortgage is paid for. You leave and say, ooh, praise God, my mortgage is paid for. That's where we at right now. The guy is, how you feel is how he felt. Zeroed out. Now, here we go. Then it says, but verse 28 is coming. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. I'm going to say $100. Now, how much did he owe?
10 million.
And how much would he be given of? 10 million. He walked outside and saw somebody owe him $100. Somebody owed him some money. Now, guess what he did? He said, and seizing him, he laid hands on him. He grabbed him. He began to choke him. Choke him out. Saying, pay what you owe me, fool. I want my money. That's my version. That's not the Bible. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. Sound familiar? He refused and went up and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him, the guy who threw the guy in prison. He said, come back here, let me talk to you. And said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. Then he says this, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Wow. Now, I want you to know that verse 35 scares me. He says, so will my heavenly Father do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Wow. That God would take you and throw you into a spiritual prison. That's why I say your prayers are hindered. You need forgiveness. God gave it to you. Someone come along who needs it and you won't give it to them. God says, you are a wicked servant. And you will go no farther with God. Do we have any wicked servants in the house? Stand up. I'm joking. Think about that. This man should have forgave his fellow brother. But he forgot how much he had been forgiven. And that's how we act as Christians when we don't forgive other people. We forget what God has done for us. And God expects us to forgive other people because we have been forgiven such a great debt. And yet we don't forgive. I said again, you know, we are to forgive because God forgave us. Christ commands it. It hinders our prayers. And we at one time or another wouldn't need forgiveness. But the fifth thing I think also is important is this. Forgiveness communicate to the world that we are followers of Jesus Christ. We are to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You know that? We are to be a disciple who make disciples. God wants us to multiply. Amen? And God wants us to make more disciples. God wants us to bring people to him. God wants us to lead people to follow Jesus Christ. And when we don't forgive other people, we're not communicating to the world that we are followers of Christ. Yet, when we do forgive, people say, why would you forgive me? Because Christ forgave me. And that's what I should do. The world is hard to forgive people. But the church should be a place of forgiveness. Amen? Amen. So I want to communicate to the world that I know who Christ is. I do. I want to communicate to people I know who Jesus is. And what I do is I forgive other people. We're to forgive one another. Who Who has hurt you? Who has done you wrong? Forgive them. Because you've hurt other people. You've done them wrong. And God forgave you. You say, well, I've never hurt anybody. Yes, you have. You hurt Jesus Christ. You hurt him. We all have. And yet he forgave us. And that alone should make you want to forgive other people. And you may say, well, Pastor, I just can't. No, it's not that you can't, that you won't. Because the Holy Spirit empowers us to do what we cannot do on our own. No, you can. Yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, I can. I can't forgive you. Because the Holy Spirit empowers me and wants me to. So the question is us, why won't we do it? Why won't we forgive? Why won't we forgive one another? Release someone from the debt. Because there's some people you say, I'm not going to forgive them, but they're going on about their life and you're still mad. You're still miserable. They're going on about their life. They having fun. And you're still upset. And they're like, and then you say, I won't forgive them unless they come and ask me. That day may never come. It may never come. But it's not about them coming to ask you. It's about you doing it in regard. Because you want to please who? God. I forgive you. Someone say, I can't forgive my daddy. He's dead now. Yes, you can. You still can't forgive him. He's dead, but that stuff is alive in you. Kill that. Forgive. Let it go. So you can be a light and truly a servant of God. So how do we take it beyond the walls? How do we live this out? Because if we come here every day and hear a sermon like this and leave with grudges and unforgiveness, we waste the time. And some of you have wasted too much time being mad with people. You wasted too much time being mad at people, and God is saying you would just let it go. Because God can't use a person who is angry. He can't. God can't use you when you're angry. He just can't use you. I want to be used by God. Amen. I don't want to get to heaven and say, man, I would have used you, but you had a bad attitude, so I couldn't even use you because you was too mean, too angry. So I want to thank God for the grace he has shown us in sending Jesus Christ to be the payment for our sins. God did that. We didn't ask for it. God loved us. He gave Jesus Christ. Then I want to, you know, ask God to help us to release any grudges that we have, that we might have. That might keep us from truly loving one another. Because grudges will do that to you. So maybe you have a grudge of someone in here, in this room. Let it go. Maybe someone in here said something to you and you don't, just let it go.